Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Augustine has one of my favorite quotes of all time. He famously says, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." I love it because it captures something that resonates in the deep of all of us. We see it in our everyday lives when we're agitated or worried or restless about something. And last week, we had that opportunity for restlessness, if we were parents especially, when our kids had a snow day. And I happened to be home on one of those days, and my daughter said, "Mommy, I'm hungry." And I said, "Okay, what are you hungry for?" And I started listing off a bunch of snacks. "Do you want a cheese stick?" "No." "Do you want goldfish?" "No." "Orange slices?" "No." "Toast?" "No." "Cereal?" "No." "Cookie?" "Ice cream?" "No." "No to everything." I went through everything I could think of that was like snacky, junk foody, healthy, whatever. And she said no to everything. And so I said, finally, "Honey, I don't think you're really hungry." And she said, "Yes, I am." And I thought for sure she's hungry because she's grumpy. But it also hit me. She was probably feeling a little bit out of sorts from her everyday routine. Perhaps the option she was looking for wasn't really food. Maybe she needed something to assure her that she's going to be okay, that she was not alone. And so I asked, "Can I braid your hair?" And she looked at me, not wanting to give me the satisfaction of saying yes. But without too much time, she gave in and she slowly nodded her head. And everything seemed just better. Sometimes we don't know what we're looking for. So we ask for something, and food is an easy suggestion. The folks following Jesus maybe didn't know what they were looking for, but they had just seen Jesus multiply the loaves last week, and so they followed him. And Jesus says, "You're not looking for me for the signs I'm giving, you're looking for me for food." Which, I don't know. None of these things ultimately fill our restlessness. None of these material things do. Jesus says to them, "Do not seek for the food that perishes, but for that which endures." It's uncomfortable for us when we don't feel like we have the answers. And these days, I feel like we try to find the answers so quickly by looking at our technology. And so I'm going to do something with you today that I bet you've never done in church and probably shouldn't be doing today either. But I'm going to let you pull out your smartphones if you've got one. And I'm going to ask you to Google something and shout out your answers. You're going to Google the word bread, B-R-E-A-D, and tell me what you find when you see that word bread that pops up on your screen. B-R-E-A-D. What recipes? Did you say bread? Thank you. Yes. Anybody else? Music bread. Who said that? That's been a hot one. Yeah, the 70s music band. Wikipedia gives different kinds of bread, the wheat bread, the rye bread, the whatever. This is what we do, though, when we're looking for something. When I look out and I see you all on your phones, isn't that what we see in our world right now? We see people look at their phones. If there's trouble, go to my phone. If there's anybody's phone pop up the word Jesus when you put in bread? And yet, who is it that says he's the bread of life? Jesus. Jesus clearly says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you." People don't usually describe themselves as bread, so I understand why this might be a confusing way for someone to describe themselves, as Jesus does. So to understand that, you need to know the story that was referenced in what Pastor McLean just read from the Exodus account. Moses had led the Israelites out of Egypt into the wilderness, and they get hungry. And in their hunger, they start to grumble. They grumble about it being better when they were actually slaves in Egypt, because at least they could eat what they wanted. At least they weren't hungry. And God responds to their grumbling and sends them quail and manna. And manna is this fine substance that shows up on the ground each day, just enough sustenance, it's like dew, for you to make it through each day. And they're told just to gather enough for the day at hand. But in their hunger, some of these Israelites want to gather up more. So they try to store up more manna to get them through more days. The thing is, when you gather extra manna, it just goes bad. So this act of gathering manna day by day is an act of faith. You're trusting that there will be enough for the next day, just as there is enough for today. We teach our confirmation students the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. And when we pray, "Give us today our daily bread," Martin Luther says this. This is what it means. God gives daily bread without our prayer, but we ask in this prayer that God cause us to recognize what our daily bread is and to receive it with thanksgiving. He then goes on to say what this daily bread includes. It includes everything in the necessities and nourishment of our bodies, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, farm, fields, livestock, money, property, upright people in our lives, good government, good weather, peace, health, decency, honor, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. Simply put, God provides for everything in our lives, our daily needs, both physical and spiritual, even without our prayer. But God encourages us to turn to Jesus to remember this and give thanks for it. Because it's so human to be motivated by the things that we fear or motivated that we don't have enough, so we go to our phones. It's human not to live into the trust that God hopes for us. When we live in fear, we don't feel we have enough, and even worse, we don't feel we are enough. Now, when I was a child, all of my friends, this is sort of a small example of this, but when all my friends had really nice homes, they didn't think anything of it, and I think that if they knew how much I thought about how nice their homes were, they'd probably be surprised. In retrospect, I also grew up in what was a nice home. I had heat, a bed, food, clothing, but it was a home very much unlike my friends. While I remember my friends' moms discussing updated decor and all this, which I thought was very cute, I remember my mom and dad literally having a conversation about how to afford a vacuum cleaner that would clean up the shaved floorboards that the squirrels had chewed up inside our living room. So updating decor wasn't something that we were talking about in my house, but I sure thought it would be the answer to a better life. In fact, I told them, "My dream as I'm an adult is to just have a house that matches." And wouldn't you know, I live in a house with only hand-me-downs, so none of it matches. But that's beyond the point. But Jesus tells us again and again that the true bread of life is found not in what we do or what we have or what we've done, but in what God does and what God gives us. We may not be able to comprehend it intellectually, but we get it instinctively. We know those moments when Jesus touches us, when our souls are both spiritually and physically nourished. It's the gift we get when we come to church and see others in fellowship. It's the gift we get when we read scripture or pray. It's the gift we receive in Holy Communion. And every time we receive the sacrament of Holy Communion, Jesus promises forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation. And when we receive this gift, we are then propelled to go out and share this gift of forgiveness and mercy, life and salvation with others. When I lived in Seattle after college, I've talked about this so much, about how I was transformed by my friends with special needs. I lived and worked in a L'Arche community, which is homes for people with and without disabilities who live like a family. And their trust in the gospel helped me to trust in the gospel more deeply, not with my intellect or theology or words to describe it, but with an authentic trust and grace that just permeated the spirit of the place. And there was a young man in one of our L'Arche communities with Down syndrome who had received his first communion as a kid with all the other kids his age. And after his communion service, there was a big family celebration where this boy's uncle, who happened to also be his godfather, leaned over to this boy's mom and said, "It was such a beautiful first communion service. It's just too bad Johnny didn't understand any of it." To which I say, who of us does understand any of it? This bread of life stuff, that is not easy to intellectually understand. But Johnny, the young boy with Down syndrome, heard his uncle say, this is perhaps, say to his mom, Mommy, it's okay. God loves me just as I am. And I was struck with that wisdom. We actually sing it every time we come to the table here at Mount Olivet. We sing the words, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Jesus is the bread of life. This is the good news. It's nothing we do. We do not do the works of grace. We simply come to the table and receive this good news. God loves you just as you are. God has made us for God's self, and our hearts are restless until they rest in God. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Turn to Jesus, and you will know this truth. Thanks be to God. Amen.